This is the Freaking Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast, session 33.
Welcome to the Freaking Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast with Alyssa Dare Nelson, where we blow up the myth that you're meant to be well-rounded and independent. Here, we uncover what makes you uniquely awesome while also giving you actionable insights in to fill those gaps of the not-so-awesome. You are perfectly lopsided. Own it. Now let's dive in.
Well, hey, and welcome back to another amazing live coaching episode on the Freaking Awesome Entrepreneur Podcast. My name is Alyssa Dare Nelson. I am your host. I'm freaking awesome. And guess what? You are too. And so if no one has told you that today, let me be the first. You are freaking awesome. All right. So today we've got an amazing guest, someone who runs in a niche that I didn't even know existed. Super, super cool. And I cannot wait to introduce her to you. I had the chance to meet her face to face at an event about a year ago. And we just were able to connect right away. She has got this heart of gold and also a brilliant strategic mind, if that gives you a little lead-in on one of her top strengths. But let me introduce her to you. Her name is Carolyn J. Carpenter. She is the host and co-founder of Hollywood Gatekeepers, an online system to educate and create quality readers for Hollywood. Did you know this was a thing, you guys? It is a thing. And Carolyn's told me all about, you know, this entire niche and this industry. And she's going to share it with you today as well, because I didn't even know this thing existed. Anyway, okay, I'll keep going here. She is the host of the Hollywood Gatekeepers podcast, as well as the co-author of What a Reader Writes, which is available very soon on Amazon. Carolyn has served as a story analyst for People and giant companies. I'm not going to read through this entire list, but she'll tell us all of the really cool people that she's worked with. She's also an entrepreneur, a producer, a writer, and an actor. She's the executive director and founding partner of Neo Ensemble Theater, the co-founder and creator of the award-winning mega hit Mabel's 6 Feet Under Haunted House, recently featured on NBC's First Look. I mean, you guys, here's the deal, is that I could go on and on and on about all of the really cool things that she's done. But I'm just going to let her give us some of the highlights and talk to us a little bit about, you know, what she's done as a creative. Clearly she has, you know, she falls into this category, right, of people who have such creativity that they've got to do lots of different things. So if you are a multi-creative person, this is absolutely an episode for you. So Carolyn, without further ado, I will let you talk and tell us a little bit about you and just all of the amazing things that you have done. I clipped out some of the things like, oh, I don't know, she's worked with James Cameron and like some of these other amazing people. But how the heck did you even find yourself in the midst of Hollywood?
That's a very good question. I'm so excited to be here. We have just been, like you said, we met about a year ago, just been fast friends right from the beginning. And it's been such a journey getting to know each other and figuring out what our strengths are and working together on that. And I'm just loving it, mm-hmm. learning so much. And I think, you know, my father was my high school drama teacher, and, you know, I just kind of grew up in this world, and he was a artistic director in a Civic Light Opera. And he just like really, really kind of got me going as a child, his first show when I was 7 years old, you know, so it kind of made sense that I kind of went down this path. And I didn't know at the time growing up that being an artistic person and being a dancer, I danced for a long time at Disney World and Knott's Berry Farm and all that. So I think being in the theater in general is so entrepreneurial, and you don't really even know it at the time, but you're just kind of going from thing to thing, show to show, you know, always thinking of new ideas, always trying to figure out what's the next thing. And I've always been a writer. I have pictures of myself as, you know, 8, 9. I think I wrote my first screenplay when I was 11, I think. So that's just always been a thing. And writing has been the thing that I always go back to, you know, whenever I'm troubled or whatever, like it's always been going back to writing. And so being a writer, actually, I won a screenplay competition and then went to a conference that had to do with it. And then at this conference discovered there's a thing called a reader. And a reader is someone who we basically read screenplays and then we write what's called coverage or like a book report for the screenplay. And then we give it to a producer, whomever hired us. And then they decide if they want to be involved in the movie based on the coverage. And so at this conference, I discovered that this was a thing and immediately was drawn to it and thought, you know, I love the writing process. I love writers. I love producers. I love connecting people. It just was like, I want to do that. Like that was the thing. So immediately, and I kept writing and still write screenplays, but I was more interested in how do you make that connection with people? So I basically just figured out how to do it and got started doing that. And then just, that's been a thing. I've been doing it for a long time. Now I do more consulting work, which is where you work one-on-one with writers. And now we've started Hollywood Gatekeepers because there are no trainings to teach people how to do this skill. This is being a reader. Most people kind of fall into it like I did. I mean, never when you're a little girl, you never say, I want to grow up and be a reader. I've always loved reading in general. I was always a big reader. And so you read a lot, but it's reading movies, you know, it's super cool and really fun. And so it became this way of being sort of behind the scenes and being a really, really back there behind the scenes where you're not involved in the actual production. You're in the development team where you're working on the script, but you're just in that early stage where you're finding writers and it's just so exciting. And I just love it. And I'm having a blast. I have Doug Shaner is my partner and we are just partners in crime and we're diving in there and our people that are learning this are amazing. We're just having the greatest time, like showing people how to do this. It's been really fun. Super fun.
Yeah. So do people who are drawn to being a reader who end up sort of falling into it, do they fall into it because they have been writing screenplays and then they discover that, oh, that between me and the producer or the director, the producer, right, is the one who they would pass it off
typically,
to?
Typically. No, it can be either. Typically.
Okay. Yep. So typically between me and the next step is a reader. And they go, hey, that would be kind of cool. So once they kind of discover that world of how the screenplay process works, they discover that readers exist.
I think that's kind of the path that I took. I think a lot of times it's interns where they've graduated from film school or something. And that's sort of like an entry level. It can be an entry level position. And that's, to me, one of the things that I'm super passionate about is that it can be a thing where you're sort of forced to do it on your way up the ladder. So it doesn't really go reader, producer. Well, it can in a smaller company, but in the kind of larger companies, it can be reader and then story editor and then VP of development and then executive. Like there's a lot of people that could be, you might end up reading and only working with one particular person in the development department and not ever even meet the producers or directors. That's very common as well. But so this reader position has become a thing where sometimes people gravitate to it and they love it. And they get passionate about it, typically they're using it as a stepping stone. So what I'm trying to do, what kind of our mission is to elevate this position because we feel it's so important. And it's one of those things that if you're going to spend millions, literally millions of dollars to make a movie, that first person who's going to read the screenplay is really important. And sometimes we think that they're not considered in that way. And so we're really passionate about teaching people how to do just that. And we have students that are really excited about doing just that, as opposed to using it as a means to either sell your screenplay or get your foot in the door or some other thing that you're working towards. It's a lot of it. There are people that I always say just read, but it's not just because it's a huge job, but there are people that's focused solely on reading, but there are a lot of people that are using it as a stepping stone. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways it can come about.
Such a cool thing. Yeah.
It's really different. Yeah.
Well, and because I think all of us have, you know, intrigue with Hollywood and how it works because it's just such a, in some ways it's super glamorized and in some ways it's super secret. And you see these people who, you know, movie stars, right. That suddenly make it, you know, the Chris Pratts of the world that it was just a goofy guy on Parks and Rec. And then all of a sudden he's this massive movie star. Like how the heck does that happen? And so like there's just this fascination that comes around the entire Hollywood thing and or the Hollywood world rather. And so it's just interesting to see, you know, some of the behind the scenes on how does that really work? And, you know, to know that there are so many different layers and so many really important roles. Because here's the thing is that if a reader comes in and, sort of summarizes, and I'm going to butcher all of the lingo. Pardon me, Carolyn.
This is very my world.
Non-Hollywood Alyssa talking awesome. Here. You know, summarizes this screenplay that the producer then's like, oh, I got to have this, versus summarizes it or reads it. And then the producer's like, not so good. Like you have to make sure that you're writing your screenplay knowing that there's going to be someone who's going to summarize it and hand it to the next person.
Exactly. I mean, it's not called Hollywood Gatekeepers for nothing. It's, right? I mean, we really are known as the gatekeepers. And there's a lot of articles and books and talks and podcasts about how to get your script past the reader. But there's nothing about how to be that reader, how to be a good reader, like how to be someone that's, I mean, we're really passionate about creating readers that are champions for writers, because it tends to be like, oh, this, you know, they're just pass. They're just like wanting to move on because the volume of work, I mean, it's thousands of scripts. And so there's so much work and there's so much reading to do that a lot of the times the lingo and the talk is just where the gatekeepers keeping people out. And we want to be two things. We want to be champions for writers and we want to be a huge resource for producers. Producers are amazing. They juggle, you would not believe the amount of things that they're juggling. So being a reader that a producer knows is going to give them a coverage that really they've thought about and put some work into and has some depth to it, I think is going to make a big difference, as opposed to like, because it is true, you can make and break. The producer looks at that coverage and that's what determines whether or not they're going to take the next step.
So cool.
It's a big responsibility.
It is. And you are multifaceted in, and I want to actually spend a little bit of time on this multifaceted piece, because I run into entrepreneurs all the time. You're like, well, I'm really interested in this and I'm passionate about this, but I'm also, you know, I'm multi-passionate. I mean, there's all sorts of terms that we put to it, and they go, but you know, I've been told I need to niche, I need to focus, I need to do this and do that. And you've really found a way to be multi-passionate and focus at the same time. Can you, which is a gift, and it speaks to some of your strengths, which we'll get to in a moment, but I'm curious how you've been able to sort of keep multiple things in the air and also focus and do what you do really, really well.
Well, it's definitely a challenge. I think, you know, I was joking. I talk to myself a lot. Maybe that's the key. I think, you know, I'm not alone. I surround myself with really smart people that are a lot smarter than I am. And so by having people that both, you know, lift me up and rein me in, I think are really, you know, it's really, really important, because, I mean, I think you can relate to this. We both have a bajillion ideas. I have a bajillion ideas and I have a lot of projects going on. And that's been, I can remember being in junior high and high school and people saying, oh my gosh, what else are you doing? You know, being involved in so many different things. And I think I was sort of raised in that, being raised in the theater where, you know, you're building the set the next day and then you're starring in the show and then you're cleaning up the audience. And then, you know, I think there's something to that. And it's a tough question to answer, because it's just sort of, you know, as you can see by my profile, kind of who I am. And I think it is a challenge often, because I call it helium hand. I'm constantly like, I got this, and I raise my hand, I got it. And so I literally will be in meetings, and I serve on a lot of nonprofit boards too. I have a passion for that. So I'll sit on my hands literally at meetings so that I won't volunteer, because I just have so many ideas. I'm like, oh, you know how, what we could do? Oh, you know, and I mean, all of my friends will roll their eyes at this, but they're constantly like, okay, stop, take a breath. You know, you really do have to start to pick and choose. And that's been the lesson really in all of this, is like, what can you focus, how much can you put? And there are a lot of different projects, but they have a very similar through line to them in terms of they're all producing things. It's all production, really.
Whether it's
the theater or whether it's the haunted house or whether it's Hollywood Gatekeepers, I'm a producer, really, is what's going on behind the scene.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk about that thread in just a minute, because I think this is a really smart tactic for people who are multi-passionate, multi-interested. So your top five StrengthsFinder themes are strategic, really how to get from point A to point B, and contingency plans and all of that good stuff. Achiever, which is our marathon runner of all of the executing themes. It it creates the list and then it just gets everything done. Amazing. Maximizer, which is all about taking good and making it great. Iterating, iterating, iterating. And then your last two to round these out, ideation and futuristic, right? So this is where like, oh, I've got all these ideas and like, I can see how it can all play out in the future. But then you've got your strategic and achiever. They're like, okay, let's focus and let's get this done. Mm-hmm. Which I think is such a beautiful combination and allows you to really thrive doing what you do. You know, your maximizer ideation when it comes together and it's like, oh, I've got this a great idea. And by the way, I know how to make it better. You know, like no wonder when you're in meetings sitting on your hands because someone presents an idea and you're like, oh, I've got so many ideas about how we can make this better. That I love that you physically sit on your hands to keep you from committing to too much. But there's one thread, right? And I think this is where your strategic has really come in and helped you to focus without focusing, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's this production theme that mm-hmm. goes through all of it. And if it doesn't align with that, then it's like, okay, I can let someone else take care of that. Mm-hmm. And that way you are focusing on the things that light you up without getting too much, letting your sort of maximizer ideation get into all different industries and all different worlds and everything else. And I wonder if that is really your, I don't want to say saving grace because how you're built is, mm-hmm. is amazing, but we all know what it looks like when we overcommit to things.
Oh yes. Oh yes. And I think too, you know, I started being on the stage. That was my first love and acting. But every time I'm a good enough actor that I would get cast in things. So I get cast in a show and then I'm in the show and then, you know, we start by the end of the show, I'm helping to produce the next show over and over, or the next show, I'm the stage manager, the next show, I'm directing the next show. Every single, no matter where I start, I started at Neo Ensemble Theater as an actor and now I'm executive directing. It's like, and finally I was like, I need to just accept my gift. And because I fought it, I would be like, I don't want to be doing this. And so I fought it. And finally I was just, and once I accepted it and said, you know what, this is an unusual thing and this is a good thing and just, you know, go with it. I can still mm-hmm. do acting and still do those things that I love, but this is the thing that lights me up. This is the thing. And it's just, so being able to accept that was a huge shift.
Yeah, the self-acceptance piece is so important, you know, because there's skills that we do and that we excel at, right? But what we excel at skill-wise isn't necessarily what drives our energy and what really gives us that spark. And being willing to say, hey, I know I have this skill, but it doesn't light me up, so I'm going to choose something else is really hard. And it's hard because of societal pressures, right? But you already are skilled at this. You went to college for that. You've got your education in this. Why would you shift focuses, mm-hmm. et cetera? And thank you for having the courage to go, yes, I can be on the stage, but where I get lit up and where I'm going to choose to move forward is the production side of things.
Well, those skills that you learn, people that have children that want to be actors and you kind of shy them away from that. The skills that you learn as an actor are so important in life. Like you can get through so much because you've learned how to look from, you know, at people from another perspective, build characters. You're always looking as an actor of how other people live. And so I think really, you know, just really being able to embrace that and like you said, and let it be a through line. And really, you know, when you have something that you love and then you make a business out of it, sometimes it can destroy the love part. And so being an actor is a tough job. And I think, you know, if you get to where you're not liking it anymore, then it's, you know, it's not lighting you up. And I think kind of both things sort of happen simultaneously, you know, where it's like, wait, this is going really well over here and I can still do acting and I still love it. And it's still, you know, lights me up in a different way, but I don't have to pound the pavement and do all the grinding work that goes with it, mm-hmm. which is what Chris Pratt did early on that yeah. we don't see, you know, we right. don't see those. I'm sure we could dig them up, but now, especially nowadays, you know, you really can dig people's stuff up. So I think we don't see all the stuff he did before he got Parks and Rec, which I'm sure was a lot. You know, you hear of these overnight sensations. We always like joke. Yeah. I'm a 20-year overnight sensation where people have been working. Finally something hits. So it's, you know, there's just a lot that goes into the things that we see, the final result.
Yeah, one thing I really want to pull out of what you just said was that your skill and your experience as an actor, you carried forward through everything else that you've done. And, you know, so often people say, well, I've wasted this, or this career, like I spent 12 years in this career and now I've wasted it. Mm-hmm. And I will say your education and your skills and your life experiences are never, ever wasted. So the question is, how can you use that to move forward? I just had a chance to do a workshop for a variety of creatives this last week. And this woman who is a photographer, I asked them to write down all the books they've read. Like, that's part of your education too. What are the books you've read? And I'm like, I know that there probably is a lot of them. And one of the books that she loves is The Five Love Languages, which happens to be a book that I absolutely love too. And I said, wonderful. I said, how can you use your knowledge of the love languages with your clients? And she looked at me and she's like, I have no idea. Right?
That's awesome.
So like all of your education, all of your experiences, ask yourself the question, how does this serve me in my next step, in my next career? And you know, because it's, as we're recording this, is just after all of the kids have graduated. And I had a chance to talk to a couple of high school graduates when my daughter and I were out shopping for clothes, ironically, the other day. And they're like, oh yeah, we're going to college next year, et cetera, et cetera. And I was talking with them about college and what their dreams were and what they were hoping to go into. And you know, they were talking about what their majors were intended to be. And I said, can you do me a favor? And they kind of looked at me like, okay. And I said, think of this degree as your first degree, as your first career. Like, don't put so much pressure on yourself to think about whatever degree that I get, I have to, like, this is my career. Mm-hmm. Like, just think about what you want to be doing until you're 25.
Love it. Awesome.
Like, oh, and you could see the relief wash over both of these young gals' faces, because they're like, because what an immense amount of pressure we put on our young people to be like, hi, you're 18, and now we're going to ask you to define what you want to do for a career for the rest of your life. Yeah. You know, and they don't have to. It's just, what do you want to do for now?
Well, that's also one of the things we focus on in Hollywood Gatekeepers, actually, is we have people that are teachers, and some of them are, they're retired, or they have all these different careers. And we're saying, you know, or there's someone who has some medical background. We're saying, look, you can not just be a reader. You could be a reader for medical shows. Like, you can put whatever it is that you've already been doing, and you can put it into this field. So nothing is wasted. And we also really talk about the reader thing as being, it's a self-employed, you're usually a freelance. There are sometimes you might get hired for long-term things, but it's very entrepreneurial, and nobody looks at it that way. So we're trying to really get people to look at their whole picture as a whole person, not just as this part of their job, but as something where they can embrace the current job that they have. And that's another thing. A lot of people are doing career shifts, embrace where they're at and stop, you know, worrying about the dreaded day job, and really embrace that job and look for the resources you have within that job that will then promote you, you know, or further you to the next step, whatever it might be. Even if you hate where you're at, knowing where you want to go and looking around you to see what resources are right under your nose, because there are some there for everyone, and being able to, that way you're not married to that thing, and know that that thing will inform whatever your next thing is. We're really passionate about that.
That's so good. I think we could probably talk about this subject alone for a full day workshop, Carolyn, because so many people are afraid to move into their next step because of what they're leaving behind. Mm-hmm. And before we make this shift into the challenge that you're facing right now, I'm going to leave you guys who are listening, earbuds in your ears, with this question. And that is, but if you don't leave, right, and shift from what you have been doing into your next step, what are you leaving undone? Right. So think about the fear that might be holding you back, right? Is wasting whatever you might be moving from. But what are you leaving on the table that you could be making a huge impact on, or making a big difference in, or giving yourself joy and success because you don't want to shift from and leave behind what you're already doing? That's what awesome. I want you guys to think about.
It's awesome. And it's also, I mean, we're recording this right at the end of June, and we're doing a whole celebrating half New Year. Mm-hmm. So it's halfway through the year. And I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. I love the new year because it's new beginnings and everything, but I think we put undue pressure on ourselves with our New Year's resolutions. So no matter when you're listening to this, is, you know, what is the thing that you said you were going to do at the new year, and where are you at with that? And then let it, what do you need to let go of in order to make that happen? And just kind of refresh, reset, and not worry about it so much. And get all together. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's so good. So of course, and this is why I love this portion of the podcast where we talk about a real life challenge, because Carolyn, you've done so much and you're so multi-talented and multi-curious and you've had massive success, but we all have challenges at every level, right? New level, new devil kind of thing. And one of the thing that's been behind the curtain, as we're speaking about behind the scenes, is people who have had massive success. And people think, if I could only be like that person, they don't have any problems. And we know in our heads that that's not necessarily true, but nobody talks about that. So what is a challenge that you're facing in your business right now?
I think that the biggest thing with the Hollywood Gatekeepers, especially, you know, we just kind of decided to start doing it to see if it would be something that would work. And it's, we've been astounded, as is true with the Haunted House, as well as with the amount of success that we've had so quickly. So it's about, how do you manage that and still be present with, for the people that are coming in and learning? And then how do we scale to the next step? And, you know, what do I let go of? What do I, you know, let go of control of? Who do I bring on? How do we scale? Like that, that's kind of where we're at. And that's our topic of conversation on a regular basis, because we are very fortunate that between my writing partner and we have a few others that are helping us out, we have a multitude of skills. So we're pretty, and we're all very much about, oh, I'll just do that. You know, I'll just grab that, you know? And so how do we start like pulling? I've literally started a new task list, you know, sort of this ghost task list of things I might give to someone. So we're trying to figure out where are the places, or how does that manifest? Like, how do I even do that? I'm so used to just doing things. Like, how do you get to where you're building that team?
So is the issue that the trust in having someone else do it correctly, or is it in finding somebody who would actually do the things for you?
I would say it's more in finding the right fit of the person, of going about that thing. Cause I want people to flourish on their own. And it's always feeling like, I think, and this is, I don't know, but I was going to say, so it's feeling this, I don't want to bring someone on and I want them to get something out of it. So anyone I bring on, and it's hard because the tasks that we have, at least that we would like to have other people do, are sort of the menial tasks. Mm-hmm. So I have a hard time feeling like, well, I want to bring, you know, who's going to want to come on and do that? You know, it's kind of what I struggle with. So I end up going, okay, which adds more to my plate in a way, because I'll say, okay, if you come on and do this, then what is it that you're doing in your life and what do you want to do? Okay, well, I'll help you with that. So then I'm getting those tasks done, but I'm adding a new thing on my plate of kind of coaching.
Of mentoring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but I like that. I want it to be that. So it's like finding those people that want to dive in to where they can just dive in and learn in the process, or we're still trying to figure that out. It's relatively new at this particular kind of onboarding. I mean, I've done many, many events and I've done shows and I've done, you know, little mini productions, but we're looking long haul here. And I'm so used to that production thing where it's just for the time of the show or the movie or whatever it is that you're producing. So to have something that we think will be long-term is a whole different ballgame to me.
So it's interesting because I'm going to actually give you the same advice that we just gave everyone else,
right? You're pointing out all three back, pointing at yourself.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Is that this job for, you know, this role that you're filling, it doesn't have to be forever. Long-term could be, right? It could be just short-term. And actually thinking about this role that you're filling as a, all right, we know that this person is going to grow beyond this role.
Right.
So I actually just brought on somebody who is taking all of my courses that I've purchased. and she's going through them all and she's distilling them down to what I need to know.
Wow.
Now, what a cool job that is. I was kind of thinking,
very cool.
If I could just do that for somebody else, that'd be great. Right. Wow. But here's the thing is that I don't have learner in my, even in my top 15. Learner is a strength theme that's all about the process of learning. Mm-hmm. I have activator, which means that I just want to know and get done doing things. So I buy these courses with the idea that I'm going to have some knowledge out of this, but then I don't have time nor the patience to sit down and learn it all. So the beauty in this, and her role may expand from here, is that this stuff she needs to know too.
Yeah. It's almost like
a paid internship. So sure. I'm paying her to take these courses and then distill them down into what do I need to know today and tomorrow and the next day in order to implement these things. And the idea is that whatever other roles that we add on to this, because there's going to be certain tasks that go mm-hmm. along with these courses that she's learning that I need done. Right? Sure. Executive assistant sort of tasks. And I'm like, every time that you do something like this for me, I want you to hop on Zoom and record it.
Right.
So zoom.us and you guys have heard me talk about Zoom before, but I love Zoom because you can share screens, you can record just solo. And so I asked her, when you do something, put on Zoom, share your screen, and then just go through, like, I did this, then this, then this. I said, that way we have a process.
That's awesome. I hadn't realized actually that you could use Zoom that way. We use Zoom as well. I've been using Loam that mm-hmm. way, and then also ScreenFlow a little bit that way. But I've been doing myself. I hadn't thought about them doing it. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's certain things that I do myself. I've been recording some of my processes that way too. But it's interesting because the idea is not that she's going to be on long-term, and she might be because mm-hmm. she's amazing and she's got all sorts of different strengths that I don't have. Sure. But the idea is that she'll move on beyond that. Now she might not want to, she might sure. just want to work in Dare Success Coaching for the long-term, and that's might maybe how it will evolve. But if we're prepping for her to leave,
sure.
Then,
well,
then,
or if you're just not married to it, you know, yeah. the advice I just gave about what do you need to let go of?
Yeah.
I think that is true, where I'm looking down, the futuristic part of me is looking down 2 years from now, thinking that person's going to be stuck in that place. I don't know why I'm thinking that, because it's kind of absurd, actually. But it is that feeling of feeling like it has to be something bigger than what the job entails really right now.
It's a pretty simple thing. And I'm betting that some of your students would love to, and here's the glory, is that they could actually mentor under you without mm-hmm. you even actually really overtly mentoring, right? Sure. They get to see the back end of how things are run, what things you need to do, and you know, the tasks that need to be done, and like effectively what you've done, right? They want to know how to get to where you are. And guess what? By working for you, they are seeing the back end of that, which is hugely valuable for them and is a mentoring type of role.
That's great. That's great. And we've also, I mean, we do it within our group, within the course, we do weekly Facebook Lives. And in the Facebook Lives, I always do sort of an update because we weren't sure, honestly, full disclosure, we weren't sure we'd have enough content when we first started. And now it's like content coming out of our ears because they come up with things that they need. They have mm-hmm. questions. And so you have a percentage when you're going through the course, and they've been starting to say, I'm never going to get through my percentage. I'm never going to get through the course because you keep adding things. Like I've been at 40% for months, you know, but because I just keep going, having ideas. And so we have the course is now massive and they're just getting so much. So they're seeing, we're very transparent about how the business is building and mm-hmm. how the podcast is launching and how's that going and tools we're using. And we don't just share how to be a reader and read screenplays. That's a huge part of it. That's most of it. But we also share really behind the scenes stuff about how just to build your business, because yeah. if they're going to do this, they're going to need to know how to build a business too. So we're open books with that. So what you're saying is really ringing true in terms of, you know, there's people that probably have been through the course that are seeing way more than just how to read screenplays. So yeah, that's definitely a place to look for sure.
Is the person that you're looking for, or people, do they need to be in person? Do they need to be local to you, or can they be online?
Online.
That expands your options even more.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, if there's some some trepidation about just handing X or Y tasks off, then hopping on Zoom or hopping on, you know, whatever other screen floor or whatever to record that for them is a really good way of like, just, okay, here's this task. This video is 6 minutes long. Go do this thing. And you said you do record already some of those processes for yourself.
I just started doing that in the last realizing James Wedmore actually had mentioned that. And, you know, as he's awesome. And so I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. We need to start doing that. I was originally, we have a consultant course that we've added. And so I was creating the content for that and thought, well, I'll just record my desktop so someone else can do it. You know, I'll do the first module and record my desktop. And then I just kept going. Pretty soon the whole thing was done. I was like, well, I got it done.
Yeah, achiever.
The idea was to get it, you know, sort of started so someone else could take over the rest. But now it's done.
Yeah. So there's like three different things here that I think just to recap, because you're already doing a good portion. We just need a little tweak in that futuristic, right? Like I see the long vision and I want stability of somebody who's going to be in this role, but realizing that what's done in the role is what needs to stay stable, not necessarily the person in the role. So number one, which you've already done, is take all the tasks that really don't need to be done by you and write them down.
Yeah.
And then begin recording them, which you've already begun to do. And then that person that fills that role, thinking of it as this is a stepping stone for you. Right. And it may not be, they may fall in love with it and stay with it long term. But if you think about their role as being something that they're going to grow out of, you're always prepping and documenting processes and tweaking procedures and engaging them to be a true contributor to that role in a way that allows people to really feel empowered so that they're not a minion. Because for people like you and I who love to develop people, who love to see them grow, it feels like, oh gosh, here's this task that I don't want to do. But remembering that A, they have different skills and strengths than you do. And so that might actually light them up in a way that doesn't light you up.
Right.
And two, they get to learn and develop themselves to that next level as well. So I'm curious, by the time that this goes live, if you've had a chance to reach out to your maybe existing student base, or you know, maybe somebody else, to just find that sort of part-time, you know, stepping stone. Stepping stool.
That's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. Kind of role. And then what does that look like? Because it really is about just helping other people to develop beyond where they are right now, I think. Sure. And if we look at it that way, it doesn't feel like we're pushing tasks off onto minions.
Exactly. Yeah. Elevate the whole thing.
So that's what I think
awesome.
About that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Does that
awesome.
Help?
Yeah. As always, you're so good at this, being able just to, you know, narrow it down, funnel it down into what you need to do.
That's absolutely right. Next steps.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So very cool. Well, there are people who are listening who are like, oh my gosh, like that would be so cool. I didn't know readers existed. And like, she'll teach me how to do some of that stuff. Where can people find you and learn more about what you teach and how you teach it?
Well, I will have a free download that they can download that I will give to you. So the link to that is HollywoodGatekeepers/BeFrickinAwesome.
Be freaking awesome. Awesome.
So that'll be it's just an overview. It's a guide on what being a reader is and kind of how you get started with it. And then they can go to hollywoodgatekeepers.net is our website. We do have a Facebook page, Hollywood Gatekeepers. And then we have a free Facebook group, which I highly recommend. So you should like the page and then join the group. It's free. You do need to be approved to get in, but you know, you just answer a couple of questions, or you don't need to answer the questions. We just kind of approve people to make sure that, you know, we know who's in there, because we really want to serve the people that are in there. And then we do weekly Facebook lives in there that are free, where we give away a lot of free content. Mm-hmm. And you can also join our mailing list from that page as well, or on the website. So once you join the mailing list, we do weekly emails, we do free workshops. We have guests. We do all kinds of things that are free. And then we have a free workshop where we really dive in. And all of that information will be in the Facebook group or on the Facebook page and on the website. So you can get through all of that. So and you can get in touch with me at either Carolyn@HollywoodGatekeepers.net or Carolyn@CarolynJCarpenter.com. So awesome. Those are ways that people can reach out to me if they have questions. And we're more than, but really the Facebook group is the best place to ask questions. And the community is so great in there. It's really fun. It's all about movies. We talk about movies, just fun things. And then we also get serious and talk about, you know, the jobs and what's going on behind the scenes. So we really, you know, we're starting the podcast launching soon. So keep your eye out for that, but you'll see it if you get into the Facebook group.
It's the excellent. Best. So the easiest way, guys, is to get onto Facebook and just in that little top search bar, put in Hollywood Gatekeepers and right. You'll be able to find Carolyn's group. And then if you would like her freebie, Go to HollywoodGatekeepers.net/be-frickin-awesome. And just remember, frickin is F-R-I-C-K-I-N. Awesome.
Exactly.
Yep. Be frickin' awesome. Carolyn, this is a joy. I love talking to you. Side note, you guys, we had to reschedule this a couple of times. And so we had a chance to just connect on several occasions, which has been just amazing.
Awesome. Yep, totally.
to happen. So I can't wait till our next thing, our next time where we can connect, Carolyn. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
You. So fun. Super fun. Love the work that you're doing and can't wait to share it.
And now it's time for the podcast recommendation of the week. Today, Carolyn and I talked about reframing the idea of hiring a long-term employee and really thinking about it as a way of, this is a part, you know, a short-term thing that you're going to graduate someone onto, or they're going to leave the position and go on to something else, right? So really shifting the mindset on what that might look like. The podcast recommendation this week is Entrepreneurs on Fire with John Lee Dumas. Now, John used to do this podcast 7 days a week, and certainly there is a plethora of really great nuggets of wisdom in each one of those first 2,000 episodes. But since episode 2000, he's actually moved to 2 days a week. Now, one is an interview with an amazing entrepreneur. The other episode in the week is a Q&A. John has fantastic experience, not only in growing a 6- and 7-figure business, but also in growing his team. So if you have a question for an entrepreneur like JLD, you can actually put in your question and get your question answered live. Great podcast, great guy. You're going to love JLD Interviews Entrepreneurs on Fire. You can find EO Fire on iTunes or anywhere else you like to listen to podcasts. I'm so glad you joined us today. Thank you. If you're ready to dive deeper into your own awesomeness and move forward beyond the frustrations that might be holding you back, visit daretosucceed.com to grab your free sample of my book, From Frustrated to Frickin' Awesome, 4 Steps to Achieve the Success You're Wired For. Until next time, keep being frickin' awesome.